یه باد خزونی با هزار نام مهربونی زیر گوش برگ تنها میگه طعمه خزونی برگ سبز و تر و تازه رنگ سبزشو میبازه غرق بوسه های باد و وحشت روزای تازه میکنه دل از درخت و میشه آواره کوچه کوچه ای که یادگاره روزای رفته و پوچه میشینه گوشه ی کوچه چشم آسمون میدوزه میکنه یاد گذشته دلش از غصه میسوزه شاد با این دل زرد و تویی در حسرت دیدار با یاد روزایی که کوچه زیر سایه تنم بود مهربون درخت عاشق مست عطر نفسم سهم من از بوسه یه با چی بگم ای داد و بیداد همه زردی و تبایی مردن و رفتن از یاد سهم من از بوسه یه با چی بگم ای داد و بیداد همه زردی و تبایی مردن و رفتن از یاد
Listening to a piece of music by an Iranian pop musician. His name is Siavash Qomeishi. This was from Ruzhaye Bihatere. All right. Thanks for listening. This is KBOO 90.7 FM. You're listening to Voices of the Middle East, and I'm Gudarz Ektedar, your host. One of the important issues about this Baker Hamilton. Before I go into this, let me invite the listeners if they have any comments to make about the our guest or anything about the Baker Hamilton report. You're welcome to call in at 503-231-8187. Again, 503-231-8187. And if you have anything that you want to share with the rest of us, you're welcome to do so. But part of the, I guess, the issue with the study is that they come up with this notion that really the problem in Iraq is not really a military problem. It's more of a political problem. And because of that, they come with like 79 different recommendations that even goes into, for example, privatizing the oil, which to my understanding it is privatized already, but emphasize on that. And also they come up with some recommendation that is that are in direct contrast with what is supposedly the Iraqi constitution that was approved last year by a good margin of votes. For instance, the recognition of sort of autonomy or federalism in Iraq and autonomy of Kurdish region that is now being somehow questioned with this report, and there are recommendations, for example, as far as how the oil revenue will be distributed in Iraq, and specifically report recommends that it needs to be distributed by the population between different regions. And also, it contradicts the Constitution in a sense that Constitution said the existing oil facilities belong to the Iraq as a national, but then allowed regional governments or regional governance bodies to be able to explore. And that was something that Kurds were expecting and hoping for, that in future they will be able to explore more oil from their area, from northern Iraq. And with all the indication that exists, they won't be able any. They will not be able to do that. And even if they do, in order to export that oil, it needs to go through the other regions. And if there isn't a mutual understanding or mutual benefit for all three parties, namely Kurds, Shiites, and Sunnis, the exportation of oil from the Kurdish area needs to go south to Persian Gulf. Otherwise, if they want to send it out through Turkey, they are really arch enemies between Turkey and Kurds, and they are not going to support it. So it's in kind of a beneficial benefit of all three groups in Iraq to come up with some sort of collaboration in future of the country, or at least that's what I think you can see from the all the evidence today. In responded to what I just said as far as the problems in Iraq being more political rather than military, there are now some voices within the administration or even from the Senate, especially from John McCain and other Republican senators and even former Democrats such as Lieberman and some others, that they all call for more troops in Iraq. And there is no evidence that any more troop would be able to solve the situation. So it's kind of amazing to me, at least, to find the rationale behind these calls. Last night I heard about 40,000 more troops, and actually the postponement of a change in a strategy announcement by President Bush to next year most probably is because they want to get as far as possible from the publication of Baker-Hamilton report, and so the memory are clean, as you know, what a short memory we have here. For them to be able to propose something like this and sending more troops to Iraq. The other issue that happened this week, as I mentioned at the beginning, was the fact that in Iran there was a conference on study of Holocaust. And whether, I mean, what is really the intention behind this, and why President Ahmadinejad is trying to muddy the water more than it is really necessary, is a question for anybody, including for myself as an Iranian American here. that really there is no purpose behind this, where I could say the majority of people in Iran do not question the Holocaust, do not question the existence of Israel, and they have said very clearly that the issue of Israel and Palestine really needs to be resolved by Palestinians, and it's not really a business of Iranian government to get any more involved in that. However, these conferences are pretty questionable in a sense, but at the same time, I just want to read a little piece from an article that was written actually on Tom Paine, Common Sense, by Ethan Heitner, who I believe is a Jewish person. Yes, he mentions that he is a Jewish. And what he says is that really the question of, for example, inviting somebody like David Duke and dozens of other Holocaust deniers at the conference in Tehran, but he says, so do our allies in the Middle East do a lot of weird things, but if inviting David Duke to speak at a conference is so reprehensible, let's not forget that when the man ran for governor of Louisiana in 91, he won 39% of the vote, including 55% of the white vote. I'm not trying to suggest that one needs to be morally pure before one criticizes others, but it is worthwhile to put accusations of atrocities in relative context. And don't forget that David Duke was also a representative in the state house in Louisiana. And why don't we question really his election in that situation? But generally speaking, there's no reason to have such a conference in Tehran. But there are many things that the administration, the government in Iran does that Iranian people don't agree and do not support, including, for example, last week when President Ahmadinejad was supposed to speak at a university in Tehran, the Polytechnic Tehran. He was basically greeted with students who really set fire on his picture and shouted, "Down with the dictator." So there are these movements within the country, and it's really nonsense to assume that Iranians are all the same as what the president and basically their so-called leaders are doing and are saying. With that, let's listen to just a little piece of music, and we will be back shortly. If you want to call and have any comments about the program tonight or anything related to Middle East, you're welcome to call in at 503-231-8187. The name again is the number 503-231-8187.
گریه کن گریه قشنگه، گریه سهم دل تنگه، گریه کن گریه غروره، مرهم این راه دوره، سر بده آواز حق حق، خالی کن دلی که تنگه، گریه کن گریه قشنگه، گریه قشنگه، گریه سهم دل تنگه، گریه کن گریه قشنگه.
بذار پروانه احساس دلتو بغل بگیره، بغض کهنه رو رها کن تا دلت نفس بگیره.
نکنه تنها بمونی، دل به قصه ها بدوزی، تو بشی مثل ستاره تو دل شبا بسوزی. گریه کن گریه قشنگه، گریه سهم دل تنگه.
We have Paul on the line. You're on the air, Paul.
Hello, I can't hear you.
Yes, you're on the air.
Oh, hi. Thanks, Goddard. Yeah, I just wanted to make a comment. Yes, if people had any comments about this Baker Commission. And I was at the city council when the city council passed the resolution about withdrawing from Iraq. And then, like, 3 days later, the Baker Commission comes out, and what the Baker Commission is recommending is what the military has been telling our soldiers for years and years now. We heard, I think, two or three different family members or veterans tell us that starting before the invasion that we were told it'd be 12 to 18 months, and then in 03 it would be 12 to 18 months. In 2005, it'd be 12 to 18 months. And now they're telling them, once again, well, it's only going to be 12 to 18 more months. And, you know, this is the Baker Commission saying the same thing, that, like, you know, they think that we could be done in 12 to 18 months. And it's the same group of people just perpetuating the same lie. I don't think they have any plan to withdraw, to tell you the truth. I think they are so sick that they think they can have this world domination, and they don't even realize that we don't have the resource to carry it off.
Thank you, caller. I'm sorry, we're having a problem with this line one, but we were hearing your voice very loud and clear. And I kind of agree with you that I do not see really a reduction of the military and forces and troops from Iraq. And if I understand the Hamilton Baker report correctly, they are basically trying to suggest that there needs to be a move of troops from the crowded area and where the danger is, and moving them into bases, so to speak. So they have them there in Iraq, but not on the field. Again, there are a lot of speculation about the report and why they came out like this, but I guess the clear issue is that the president is totally kind of a checkmate with this report, and the way a White House spokesperson is talking about it and everybody else close to administration is talking about it. They sort of, as usual, they were expecting something to come out just to pat them in the back and tell them, well, such a wonderful job you're doing. But the all reality is that the combination of the group that put the report together and the time that they spent turned out to be really with some unexpected results. And more than that, I think the results of election and the situation in the field have supported that there needs to be a change in the strategy. But unfortunately, I guess it's a deaf ear that hears these things. And unfortunately, that's how it is. Okay, we have another caller. You're on the air.
Yes, hello.
Hello.
Two questions. They're different. First one is, could you tell me what you know about the so-called marsh Arabs down at the bottom of the Tigris and Euphrates near the Shatt al-Arab? And also separately, what do you think of the nuclear deal between the United States and India and how that will affect the South Asian region like Pakistan and Afghanistan, Punjab, Jammu Kashmir, and also with the new railway having been built by the Chinese into Tibet, the Tibetan independence movement might be dealt a blow if the Chinese start to militarize the border with India. I'll take your answer off the air.
Well, thank you. Well, first about the marshlands in southern Iraq, it's a land kind of north of Basra that is a marshland. And sometime during the Saddam Hussein regime, they opened water into that area. And so lots of villages basically disappeared from the face of the earth. And it has happened quite a few times. I know that once was right after the 1991 Iraq war and the uprising of Shiites from south. They are very much related to the Arabs living in Iranian southwest state of Khuzestan. And there are very kind of family relation between those Arabs, where they're very poor families who are living in that area. And right now it is under control of British forces. They also have their own movement, so to speak, in marshland in south of Iraq. That's basically the limits of my knowledge about the Arabs in the marsh areas around Basra. The second question was about the nuclear deal between the U.S. and India, and what would be the impact in South Asia and South Asian countries. Specifically, I would kind of pay attention to Pakistan. And as you know, during the presidency of Bill Clinton, both India and Pakistan, they did their first testing of nuclear weapons, and both countries were under some sort of sanctions by the U.S. government. With the events of 9/11 and coming to power of George Bush, obviously India was dealt with a more soft, I guess, hand, and the result of that is what we see in the most, I guess, analysts of the Asian affairs. They believe that really U.S. Needs India as a force against China, and they want to have that kind of relation, and especially with the collapse of Soviet Union, India is also eager to expand on their relation with U.S., and what we knew of non-aligned India has dramatically changed these days. The Pakistani test of nuclear obviously did not help them, but again, Bush also, although kept the sanction intact with Pakistan, because of what they needed from Pakistani forces in the war in Afghanistan and against Al-Qaeda, which is really a production of Pakistani intelligence organization. Talibs, they were all trained in Pakistan and sent to Afghanistan. So they also needed that to go. So there isn't really much of truth in their dealing with Pakistan either. The last question was about the Silk Road, I guess, line that is really funded by many organizations, and China is now getting it into Tibet, and it's supposed to connect really eastern borders of China to Turkey and then to Europe. And it goes through most of Asian republics and also goes through Iran, part of Iran as well. I really don't have any specific knowledge about what the political ramification would be, except that it creates a channel of collaboration between these countries. And most of these Asian countries, Asian republics, are really in a bad economic situation, and I hope that would help that case. So with that, we're getting to the end of the show tonight, and I apologize for the delay at the beginning, and hopefully I will see you in January. And I wish everybody a very, very happy holidays, whatever you believe in. Keep it up.